A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Coming up on TMS, what happens in Vegas gets discussed at length on the show.
Edibles arrangement.
I destroyed her butt.
Draft Dodgers.
Stay hydrated.
Derek Morpheus.
Oh, what a feeling. That projector on the ceiling.
I'm here to see Sexy Acid Lady.
Parking lot penis stain.
Professor Salt and Dr. Pepper.
He committed a runcible.
Just a simple mint.
Handcuffed to a bench.
They call Scott Mello yellow.
What's his bucket with Stephen and more on this episode of The Morning Stream?
Oh, I can't go out tonight with your father with this hair. And my shampoo washes the body out.
Don't wash out body, Mom. Cream in body with Lister Cream Cream Shampoo.
That is the result of His Majesty's government.
Gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. The Morning Stream is back for Monday, May 2nd, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hello.
We just got done with a week of hanging out and seeing each other and a bunch of fans and having a good time in Las Vegas, Nevada, and a bunch of you at home are like, oh, finally, we don't have to hear about Vegas anymore. Oh, today you do.
Well, maybe a little bit more, but not too much more. And then, you know, we got to start talking about next year.
Yeah, we got to start planning for what we're going to do next time. I have this in my head. I don't know why, but I have this, like, strong feeling we should try to do some, like, film sacky thing, and I don't know why. I don't know why I feel that way. We got a long time
to plan. No, I want
to...
Listen, until the pressure finally gets to you and you bring back an Ertacular, we got to start bringing more events to Vegas, and doing a live film sack would be great. I mean, listen, we had that ballroom. Let's take that damn ballroom for the entire time we're there.
Yeah, why not? Why the hell not? That was a fun place. Did we? Oh, I was going to ask you. Did we hit our limit?
I'm still waiting here. I emailed Bernadette, and Bernadette was great. She's like, did you see the thing in the elevator? You saw it, right?
Oh
the,
yeah. Hell yeah. Every time you're in there, it was like in a rotating thing in our TMS.
Right, only four things. It was like the coffee bar, the pool, something else, the pop-up pizza, and then welcome the Morning Stream. And it's a picture of Scott and I's mugs in the mug.
Yeah, it was pretty good. One of them was a tomahawk steak and a salad, which they show
up
a lot.
Oh, that's right, at Oscars, yes.
Yeah, which I never went to. I actually didn't even go to Hash House, but I meant to. I meant to eat somewhere like that on premises, and I never did.
Yeah, well, next time I think we'll actually be able to do the whole thing on premises, because the sand dollar will easily be open by the time the next TMS Vegas rolls around. And the Sand Dollar is inside the plaza, and actually has a stage and has tables, and basically, like, as much as I love Artifice Bar, which was great.
Yeah, it was good.
Keeping people on site for a live TMS. Come on.
Oh, easy. Hell yeah. Easy. Way easier for everybody and less insane trying to get
everybody across.
We'll
do like a pub trivia night one of the nights, and I'll ask somebody to write trivia questions.
Yeah, there you go.
That part I don't mind doing and taking the reins on. I want to do more.
There was a lot. My guess is they'll also have projectors so you don't have to bring one, and they'll have, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
Damn. All right, let's talk about that, because that was hilarious. Yeah. Like, the entire time I'm talking with James and Sved, and we're trying to figure out the venue, and finally Artifice says, oh yeah, no, we'd love to have you guys. And I say, great. Part of what I need for the show is a projector and a screen. And they're like, oh yeah, no, we can't provide any of that. Like, all right, so if I bring my own projector, is there a wall? Oh yeah, you've got a wall. Yep, absolutely. A big wall that you can project onto. Great. Okay, no problem. So I take up half of my bag with my DLP projector, my carry-on bag, which is, you know, it's not light. It's not heavy, but it's also not light. But it's also taking up a lot of space. And sure. I'm also, like, freaked out that I'm going to break it, because it is our TV down here. It's what I...
Oh, I didn't know that. I figured it was
It's what I cycle
thing.
In front of. Like, when I do Apple Fitness Plus on my bike with all the other weird, happy people doing their Fitness Plus, it's with this life-size... projection screen on the wall.
Wow. I didn't realize that was your main projection screen. That's funny.
It is, yeah. Okay. So I pack it, bring it, and then start setting it up. And as I project it onto the wall for the first time, I notice a black area that's being blocked by something, which is their projector hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, their perfectly functional projector that was there the whole time.
Yeah, presumably.
I guess the thing. We're assuming it works, but who knows? Maybe that thing's on the fritz. Yeah. I have no idea. And that's what they meant, but who knows? But
that, criminy.
And that thing was funny.
For whatever reason, they didn't want us to use that one, or we couldn't use it, or whatever. But we're also... So a lot of people have asked about the Taskville stuff. I'm going to re-export, send it out to KT Data. Actually, both KT Data and Monkey Bananas have said, hey, send me that Taskville video, and I'll do what I can to, like, really clean up the audio. It's like, oh, you guys are awesome. So I'm going to do it. I'm not going to make both of them do the work. I'm going to...
You're going to make them fight to the death, you know, let them fight to the death.
That's right. It's editor dome. Two editors enter, one editor leaves.
Yeah, we'll see who runs Bartertown by the time those two are done with their bloody work.
But after the first one or two of those videos, people started filing in to watch Acid Sisters and Same Sex Mary that weren't there for TMS Vegas. And it was really getting loud out in the bar area. So a lot of people had a hard time hearing the funny stuff that... you were saying, and that Scott Fletcher was saying, Tom was saying in the last set of videos.
Yeah, you couldn't make it out in there. And I think it was a couple things going on. One is the audio had to be captured however it was captured, so it's just hard to, you know, have room audio sound good. But also, that bar was packed with people that were there to see Sexy Acid Lady, or whatever the name of the band was. What was it? Acid Sisters.
Acid Sisters and Same Sex Mary.
Right. Same Sex Mary, I could never remember Acid Sisters.
However, if those two ever do a collaboration, you've completely identified the name that they will perform under. Sexy Acid Ladies.
I couldn't remember. But anyway, so you could hear them all out at the bar space getting louder and louder and louder as more and more people are piling up. And then we were, you know, Brian was in the thick of showing this video, and you just couldn't hear it very well. But that's great. That's good to hear. Then there's another way to get it, y'all. So
for sure.
Watch for that. There was so many weird things that happened. We'll just throw out a few here for just a little bit of recap. By the way, if you were there... And you just never connected with Kim and I on the swag bags, which if you had a ticket, you deserve one. I know it happened for, like, Will Harris didn't get his, for example, even though I saw him a million times. It was never when the bags were out. So I'm sending Will his bag. That'll be true for all of you. So if you didn't get it, fret not. We still have your emails, and we'll reach out to you to get shipping addresses, and we'll send your swag and your bags to you directly. So that's a PSA I wanted to get out of the way. Then I wanted to make a recommendation. Both driving in and driving out, because I drove, right? Brian flew. I did the 5-6-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely, actually. Utah this time of year is kind of gorgeous. The base of the mountains look like Hawaii. The tops are still a little snow. It's just an amazing drive.
That's cool.
And we made an EDM discovery. So if you're out there and, like, going, man, I sure could use a good recommendation for some electronica / EDM music or whatever, I wonder if anyone has any. Kim and I love that stuff, especially driving. Just keeps you pumped, keeps you going.
Great for,
And
it was still playing when we were in the car with you guys. I'm like, oh, this is what I needed.
Yeah, it's got some chutzpah, right? I guess is what the kids in the 20s would say.
Yes.
So we found this. We found this group, this band. I think it's just a dude. You never know with these EDM acts, but it's usually a person who seems bigger than they are. But anyway, it's called Elite Force. They've been around forever. I have never heard of them before, but so we just ran into them, a little discovery here. And the album we listened to mostly was called Music for Racers, which is a weird, funny connection because we were using it to drive to and we weren't really racing, but you know what I mean. Anyway, it's great. That is some driving badass, amazing EDM stuff. I would say reminiscent of more like the 90s style Crystal Method era kind of stuff. Although Crystal Method's still making new music too. But anyway, if you're out there and you're into it, Elite Force, go look at them. They're on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you want them.
Music for Racers, most recent thing, 17 songs, came out November 2021. Adding it to my play later list.
You know what you'll like, Brian? I think you like this the way I like it. I like electronic music, and I think it started with who did the Tom Jones cover in the 80s?
The Art of Noise?
Art of Noise, thank you. Art of Noise kind of, I think, is maybe my first taste of this, but electronic music that uses voice samples, not singing, not rapping, but like... Mm-hmm. You know, take California like you do with the Propeller Heads or whatever.
Right.
I love that sort of thing. I don't know why. Totally into it. Hell, I'm in one with the Destroy Them With Lasers song. It's like one of those things where I just love weird interstitial stuff that almost kind of tells a story.
Yeah.
These guys do that a lot. So
cool. Elite
Force. That too. They're rad.
Take California.
Yeah. I love that stuff. All right. I did the edible in this live show. Quit asking me about it. Okay. I did it. It's done. I did it. All right, I did it where it's legal, although technically you're not supposed to eat them in public, but whatever. Everybody does everything in public.
I didn't see them in public. I saw you have just a piece of candy because you were parched.
It was just a simple mint, Brian, a simple mint.
That's what it was. It was a mint,
I have audio of this, so let's go ahead and play it. All right, get this out of the way. This is audio proof anyway, so if you still don't believe me, you know, this will be as close as I get to that. So hold on a second here. Here we go. Hold on. Where is it? Oh, here is the edible. All right, enjoy.
I'm just feeling a little parched, a little, you know, like I might need a little something. I, nothing weird. It's just a normal, regular old candy thing I got at the kid's store.
You know, the kid's store.
The kid's store, yes. Yeah. Because really you were
nothing.
Parched.
So I'm just going to take it. I'm not even why I'm telling you guys about it. It's fine. I'm just going to bend over here, though, so nobody sees me do it in public.
Yeah, then I ate it. Yeah, it took about 45 minutes or so to feel anything. And I just felt floaty and good. It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was like this chill.
That's good. That's,
you know, thing. I didn't have the paranoia.
That's kind of what you want, right? That's, you know, you don't want to take it to like feel anything beyond just like, all right, I feel relaxed. I feel chill.
Yeah.
Mellow.
Yeah, mellow. Mellow is good, is a good way of putting it. I felt really mellow. Apparently said a lot of dumb stuff outside, but. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah. Bobby Ann and Tanner were there, so they'd have to tell you. Yeah. I don't remember what I talked about. I know there was a giant, like, oil stain in the parking lot that looked like a penis. That's all I remember.
That was probably left by one of the cars that spent way, way too much money on adding LED lights and neon, and maybe, I don't know, should have fixed that bashed up quarter panel.
Oh, yes.
Back corner.
That's right. We had a Fast and Furious style car show there, and this is what Brian said on stage about it. I thought it was pretty funny. Listen to this.
So, welcome everybody to this live show.
Yes. Before we held an open casting for Fast and the Furious 11.
Yeah, right? Did you guys feel like family when you're out there?
We made a little joke there. It was a good little joke. But that place was packed. It was like everywhere.
It was, yeah. We went over there for sound check or for to drop off my stuff, and it seemed like just about everybody was surprised about the Fast and the Furious thing being there. James and Svet had no idea. The Acid Sisters had no idea. Like, nobody knew about this except for the dude who one of the people who works at Artifice, who apparently was working with them and is one of the managers, or maybe the manager at Artifice, but it was the first time I'd ever talked to him. And so we showed up to drop stuff off, and he's like, he's in the parking lot talking to one of the Fast or the Furious people. And we come up to the door, and he's like, "Oh, hey, I'm the manager. I'll come up and talk to you." Except he said it more like he was Chris Angel. And he walks over, and he's got kind of like the hair hanging down, black hair hanging down over his face, a little goth eye makeup and stuff. I said, "Oh, hey, I'm Brian. I'm with the TMS podcast thing that we're doing here tonight." He goes, "Hi, I'm Morpheus."
Shut up. Really?
I'm not kidding. Yeah. Later on that night, Tanner was around when somebody walked up to him and said, "Oh, hey, how's it going, Derek?" And he looks over and goes, "It's Morpheus." So we now know Morpheus's real name. It's Derek.
Derek. Oh, it's so much less impactful net to know his real name is Derek, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, so...
wow.
He, I think, was the one who set up that thing, and a lot of people had no idea that it was going to be happening.
That's hilarious. There was also... Well, to give people a taste of what it was like, so this is our intro with Scott Fletcher, okay? You hear him on the show every day doing a show intro? This is what it's like to hear live.
Live from Artifice Bar and Lounge in the Arts District of Las Vegas, Nevada, this is Viva TMS Vegas 2022!
And you can't hear, there's in the background a bunch of people who are there for not this, and they don't know what the hell's going on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Podcast, what?
Yeah.
Why are there people sitting in a bar watching a guy sit on a couch, look up shit on his phone? What's up?
Exactly. There is one other clip I wanted to play. This is you recalling your story of being handcuffed to a bench for the whole first half of our escape room, which we had a lot of fun with, by the way. My first escape room, totally had a blast. I'm here to tell you, I think maybe I've had a turnaround on the escape rooms. I liked it. I thought it was a thing I was not going to enjoy.
Because you thought it was going to be a closet. You thought every room was going to be like that second room we were in where it barely held the eight of us.
Yes. And boy, am I glad Ducey wasn't in that room. But anyway, and I know some escape rooms are that. And in that very premises, they had one where you're in a coffin to start and you got to get out of it. And that sounds like a nightmare. But the one we did was an open space, number of people in there. I admit I got a little anxious when they put me in the jail cell because I thought, well, I ain't getting out of here because I'm no good at this. But it was just, it was fun. It was good, clean fun.
It's great.
I had a great time. But here's Brian talking about that on stage.
The team and I are handcuffed to a bench.
Now, I'm just going to keep that forever and use it for whatever nefarious reasons that I ever need, right?
Yes, right.
Like, hey, what's going
on?
Is
there is the obvious follow-up thing, which I think you said or somebody said.
Mm.
Which is, just like a Saturday night at Ibbotson's.
Oh, yeah. I didn't capture it, but I mean, I have all that audio, but
somebody said, like, I can't remember.
It was really funny, and the whole place got all our dumb in jokes, except for the Acid Sisters people. And by the way, they were great. Nothing wrong with the Acid Sisters. They were freaking awesome.
No, they were really good. Very, like, psychedelic rock, and a style of psychedelic rock that we haven't seen since the 60s and 70s.
I agree.
Grace Slick could have hopped up on stage there and we would have felt, that makes sense.
Yeah, bring that stuff back, man. I think it's a good time to hear it again. Also, I felt like James and Svet haven't skipped a beat. Those two are...
God, they sounded fantastic. Yeah. And, aside from the fact that they didn't play the song, I was the annoying member in the audience when they were getting ready to wrap up who shouted, "Hey, do no harm," which is... Listen, it's one of their biggest hits. Like, they did a music video for this damn song. So I feel like it's perfectly... It is Freebird. It is Comfortably Numb. It is, Stairway to Heaven.
But those bands, they all hate, like... I don't know if they all hate it, but who is the...
Radiohead won't do Creep.
That's right. They won't do Creep. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of. And it's just because it's so overplayed. So maybe, this is just some... hottie band thing where they don't want to play their biggest hit.
Right.
I get it.
So, I shout that and he kind of gives me a smile. I was like, we haven't really rehearsed that one in a long time. So,
I think we're going to... All right, everybody, that's it for tonight. Thanks for coming.
I wish so bad. Here's my great regret. I have one regret at this event, is not recording a bunch of him talking, because I had a huge conversation with James. I talked to him for almost an hour about him getting reelected and the whole thing in Henderson and all this.
Yeah.
And I should have had my recorder on, because then you guys at home who've not met James... Mm-hmm. Could hear finally how insanely good Brian's impression is. It's like James is here when he does it. It really freaking freaks me out. Drench Wildfire. I mean, anybody out there who saw him, you know what we're talking about now, right? Yeah. It's not a mystery. Man. So here's a sound of just celebration. And also, if this was 2 years ago, we'd all have COVID. But here's this right here. For some reason, I had my recorder on and I just walked around for like... I don't know, 10 minutes with it on in my pocket. That's you know who that is? That's Amy. I can hear her. Amy Robinson. And I'm never going to delete this because it's just this nice little memory of hanging out and talking.
You
know,
you close your eyes and you're back at the Artifice Bar.
Yeah, and I was on the I was on the edible at the moment, so I don't remember what I said.
So it all sounds like that. The whole night sounded like.
Oh, it was so cool, you guys. Also, the Area 15 thing I just wanted to mention is amazing. Oh, Brian had recommended it forever ago. We talked a little in pre-show about it, but that Omega Mart thing, that whole installation is just bonkers. And
it is.
So
is
cool. Nuts. What I didn't expect is, I thought it was all just like a constructed thing by the same people, but all like art installations by all these many, many artists.
Yeah.
And it all works somehow. And just you walk out feeling like you just saw the weirdest Tool video you've ever heard of. It was just the weirdest place. I loved that place. It was so cool.
To walk through there. It is becoming like, oh, you're going to Vegas? You got to do Area 15. It's becoming one of those things, right? Like, oh, yeah, you got to go see the fountain show at Bellagio, or you got to do this or that. I still tell people, if they haven't seen a Cobb in Vegas, see it before it disappears, because it's one of the last amazing hidden things on the strip. But it's this
a Cobb
Gansfield. Yeah, it's a thing where you it's hidden in the Louis Vuitton handbag shop, right?
Okay.
Of all places, in crystals and next to the Cosmopolitan.
Weird.
But it's a Gansfield art display where you stand in front of and surrounded by a wall that is a color and is light and all this stuff, and because of the way they do it, you can't tell where the wall is. You can't, like, that wall could be a mile away, that wall could be 5 feet in front of me, and I can't tell because of the way the light and the color wrap around it.
Oh, weird. I like that kind of stuff. That's like
AV Tech John found a link for it. If we would have been on the strip more, I would have said, okay, people, but this is another thing. You've got a book. And it's free to go. There costs no money to see this thing, but you have to book like 2 months in advance to get a time to see it.
Okay, yeah, I imagine that's that must be good then. If it's that
really really good. And God, you know, feels like a Cobb would fit in perfectly at Area 15 if they ever moved it. If they ever decide to put in a place where you could see it, but you know, if they did that, they'd start charging for it.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it should stay where it's at.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to shout out 1,000 names here, because basically everybody that we saw, you know, deserves a shout out.
Yeah, everyone was great. There was no bad anything. Everyone was awesome. Yeah. 100%. But
Tanner and Alex took Tina and I to the Haunted Museum tour on Thursday, Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum tour. So this is a... they went and saw this 3 years ago, and apparently it's changed tremendously since then. They had a few of the same things, but you do the tour in a totally different way. But they had Jack Kevorkian's van that, you know, he used for like 100 assisted suicides back in the day.
Wait, he'd do them in the van?
In the van, because
you couldn't,
because
do
he
them.
Had full control. He had like all the tanks and everything in there. There was a bunch of Manson's like artwork and clothes and stuff like that. Ted Bundy's glasses, things like that. But you go in there, and Zach Bagans is one of these Vegas dudes. He's not quite on the level of Chris Angel, but he's also not as far the other side of things as Matt King, right? Like, he's in that Vegas spectrum,
sure,
but a little bit closer to the Chris Angel end. Yeah. So you walk into a room and he's got a little video playing. The object in front of you is a knife once used by Jack the Ripper. He used it to dismember 17 hookers in alleyways in London, 1888.
Wait, is he the former governor of Minnesota?
It's Jesse Ventura.
Jesse Ventura.
There's maybe a little bit of that, yeah.
Wow.
Maybe a little bit of that.
Wow, that's pretty great.
I like
great.
This crowd noise you've got going on.
Oh, yeah, like it seems, it just makes me feel like I'm back, you know, hanging out totally with our friends. Yeah,
why not? But, you know, thanks also to Hammond for all of his help with Taskville. Again, that thing took forever to plan, and it was kind of like a test run of it, but it's something I want to do more of in the future, either at future TMS Vegases or Nerdtaculars if they happen.
Yeah, it's basically a whole second, without giving anything away here, because I want you guys all to watch the video they remaster, but it's basically another kind of escape room experience. And
right.
And I felt really dumb and smart at the same time, which I think is what you're supposed to feel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there are multiple, it's like an escape room, but you've got five different ways to get to the end. And the interesting thing is, all right, which way do they use to get to the end?
Yeah.
Scott Fletcher and Tom and Bobby and Amy also super great sports for being part of that. And and thanks to them. KT Data and Monkey Bananas both offered to help with the next year. So
yeah, nice.
Going to definitely take you guys up on that.
Take advantage of those two chuckleheads. They're not only absolutely great at this tech, but they are willing. And that's the hard part, is finding somebody so willing, and they're awesome. Those sure. dudes are great. They could be.
They are great. They really are. Yeah.
If we all lived in the same warehouse, we'd have a whole full production team already done.
Totally. Poor KT Data. Like you know, it's getting like 5 minutes before showtime, and he's got a cable. Or no, he's got desktop stands that we need for one of the microphones. Otherwise, it's like, crap. Well, I think somebody's holding a microphone, and I'm like, hey, could somebody reach out and find out where KT Data is? And apparently, because of the Fast and the Furious parking lot, he had to park like blocks away.
Oh, it was
like,
bad.
Trying to get there in time.
We tried to do the same thing, except Kim and I drove out there because we were thinking, well, if we drive, we can bring Brian and Tina back after everything or whatever. We wanted to just be an available car.
Right.
And it wasn't that far. And we found a spot not that far. But we're like, well, why can't we go closer, like right up in it? Then we drove up in it and we're like, oh, no, this is all blocked off. And also this parking lot's packed. And, oh, we can't go anywhere here. So then we went back to see if that spot was there. No, it's gone, of course. And then we drove around for a little while longer and we're like, this isn't going to work. So we drove back to the hotel, parked our car, got an Uber, came back out to you guys because it was just impossible. So Kevin, I understand, man, that was a cluster over there for a while.
For sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rusty, Shelley, Barry, Bobby Ann. I mean, again, I could name 1,000 people who A, was great to see and great to finally get some time to hang out with, or B, in addition to that, also helped out, played a great game against Amy in September called Survive, which is like a board game. I did get 5 minutes in the board game room, not just to go refill my my Sapphire and Tonics.
Yeah.
But it's like a sinking island, and every turn more of the island sinks, and you've got to get your meeple off the island, and there's sharks and whales and dolphins and things like that. It was such a blast.
I watched a bit of that. That looked really fun. You guys are playing.
Yeah. That seems like a game that you could easily do an online version of, I would think. But,
oh, yeah. Heck yeah. That translates really well. We ended up playing like 4 rounds of Secret Hitler, which I'd never played, which basically is Among Us, the board game.
Right. Yeah. And, so I came down, like, I think I came down about half an hour before that we were done with the ballroom.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, I still have to edit Tom, but I wanted to just get some board game time.
Sure.
And so I come in there and like, hey, Brian, come play Secret Hitler. Now, keep in mind, I'd already had 2 Sapphire and Tonics.
Yeah.
And they started trying to explain this to me, and my brain was just already fried. And they're like, okay, well, yeah, you got to be either a fascist or you're going to be a senator, and you're going to do this. And so every round we're going to vote, and then you got to pick a chancellor, and then somebody's Hitler, and da da da. And I said, you know what? I'm going to watch, because already I'm lost. My brain's fried. I am not going to be able to play this. I'm not going to be any use to anybody. So I sat and I watched their game, and I got maybe 50% of it. And
yeah, if you ever get a chance again, though, it's so fun.
Will. Yeah, because it looked like
it's basically like Among Us. It's screw other players and everyone's sus, and you know, it's one of those. Yeah. And we laughed and had a good time. And Deucey knew Deucey's a really good board game. Like
he's like a dude. Like the manager, right? Like he walks around, is like, all right, yeah, in this game you got to do this and this and this and this. And
yeah. Yep. So Deucey, hats off to you, dude. You were awesome. And he brought a ton of games. Everybody played something Deucey brought, it felt like. So that was cool. So what'd you do after? You just come home and sleep? Or what'd you
do? I came home and I zonked out for almost the entire... I felt like I zonked out for the entirety of Friday. I looked back and was like, oh, I actually got a lot of work, freelance work done that had piled up over the week. But for the most part, it was like got home and I crashed hard. Sometime over the weekend, I twinged my back.
Uh-oh.
Or lower back, like, I want to say it's like upper left butt cheek, lower back area is like...
Sounds like sciatica.
Sharp pain, yeah. Does feel. Except sciatica usually does the leg, right? Goes like down your leg?
Usually, although mine fluctuates. Sometimes it's down my leg, and then sometimes it just sits there on my haunch, just hanging out. It's the worst. It's the worst. Ugh. And I didn't
my
really
mom
have...
Says it's,
how was your toe, though? Because we didn't even talk about this.
Yeah, I know. I broke... So I didn't want to steal Tanner's thunder, right? Because Tanner broke his foot like 2 weeks before Vegas, and it was questionable whether or not he was even going to be able to make it out there, if he was going to be on a rolly thing the whole time.
Yeah.
And 2 days before Vegas, or the day before we left, or 2 days before we left, I stubbed my toe on my freaking pinball machine because I'm running back and forth like 3D printing arcade machines and putting stickers on them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And broke my toe to where the whole toe was purple, and then there was like a red line right around the base of it. It's like, okay, that's how you know it's broken. Yeah. Still hurts like hell. Still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do. You just have to let it heal.
Just have to wait it out. I could tape it to the toe next to it, but So
I've done that before. I did this in the summer of like 86 when I was in high school. I got in a pool that looked like it was deeper than it was because refraction.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Oh.
Light refraction. Jumped in. Immediately cracked my toe, and then I spent a month in a moon boot because we didn't have any cool, like, well, I guess if I'd gone to the right doctor, I could have had some kind of brace, but instead my dad's like, put a moon boot on it, and I was still like doing yard work in a moon boot. Like summer clothes, but a moon boot.
It wasn't even like a doctor recommended moon boot. It was like Dad said, put a moon boot on it.
Yeah, shake it off. Put a moon boot on there. And it was just a moon boot that I would wear in the winter. Because back in the night, if you're an 80s kid, you know what I'm saying when I say moon boot.
Yeah,
they're huge back then. Anyway.
They're hairless Uggs.
I think.
For those of you who are. shaved Uggs.
A great way of putting it. It was what the Marty's girlfriend and Back to the Future wore moon boots for a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So there you have it. Well, good time overall. Really, really fun.
Oh, incredible time. So much fun.
Had a blast. Yeah. It was good. My hotel room was a complete trash heap because we did bags in there.
Yeah.
And it was spread just all. I wish I'd have taken a picture of it because I looked like a hoarder on vacation. It was so bad. But that's usually the thing that I have to scramble for the most is just bags and stuff. But it was nothing like the workload Brian had this year. He really piled on himself.
I did. I over piled on myself. Like
it was great though.
I feel like I missed out on a lot of things because I piled so much on myself. So next year, not gonna do that. Gonna share the load. Still gonna do some work.
Sure, sure.
But I think all my work will be on the planning, on the front end, the planning end,
You're not gonna be the load bearing wall. You're gonna have some struts.
No, there will be many other people kind of helping share the load so that they don't miss out either. Because the last thing I want to do is say, "Oh, KT Data Monkey Bananas, you guys want to help? Great."
Yeah.
And then give them all this stuff and was like, "Okay, I'm going to Area 15. See ya."
I'll tell you what, there's one thing I wish I'd have brought it. I could show it to the chat and I don't have it handy. But the one thing that made me glad we changed dates and moved it up the week was so we were all at this Ferris wheel thing. What's it called?
The High Roller.
High Roller, which I still chickened out and didn't get on. My wife did, though. Yeah. Anyway, that thing's way up there doing its thing, and we're down here watching, and it's not bad. The crowd is not huge. It's just kind of normal. Well, I see this live shot on Reddit the day we leave.
Yes,
that afternoon.
Is the day that NFL draft.
Yeah, all those people start arriving. Early people start arriving. This is just the early people for the draft. And it's an aerial shot of that same place, and it looks like evacuation because the zombies are coming. Yeah. There's so many people.
They shut down Las Vegas Boulevard, the Strip, in front of Bellagio, Cosmopolitan, and Park MGM. Like, that whole section of the Las Vegas Strip was shut down, and it was full of people. You could walk down the Las Vegas Strip for the entirety of, like, Thursday and Friday.
That was probably cool.
Tanner sent photos. He and Alex stayed at the Bellagio Thursday night.
Yeah.
And seeing photos of this, of the madness, is like, okay, we successfully dodged that draft.
Yeah, we did dodge that. We were draft dodgers. That's what you said in my tweet. I sent Brian a picture, and he sent, "Hey, look at us. Look at us two rascally draft dodgers," or whatever he said.
Exactly. Yes.
And I laughed. I said, "You know what? This belongs this belongs in the Dad Joke Hall of Fame." It's very,
and
very
I decided
good.
To reuse that joke because, you know, recycling.
Yeah, recycling. It's all content. May as well use it on the show, I say. Well, anyway, a lot happened. We're here now. And guess what, everybody? We're back on track, which means...
Yeah.
I should have already done this. Here we go. All right. Dunaway's coming to the call, and we're going to play a game. And then after that, we're going to hang out with our pal, Steven Schleicher. Yeah. We got music coming up. We got all the usual things. So hang in there because it's about to start. Welcome to the program, if you will. One Brian Dunaway hailing all the way from South Carolina in these States United. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
We're good. You're the one person that we missed seeing this last week.
I know. And I am so sorry, but I'm also glad for all the rest I got. Suckers.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, if the dream holds and we do some film sacky themed thing next year.
Yeah,
we got to figure out a way to get you and Randy out there. So
it's getting there. We're almost there. We're almost travel again, people. Almost.
Almost. Mm-hmm. We're almost there. And whatever. COVID. I was really hoping nobody in our group got any kind of COVID. Yeah. So I'm a little bugged that anyone did. But it sounds like maybe just two that we've heard of.
Sounds like just two, and those are pretty national odds, right? Like,
yeah.
Fully vaxxed and boosted, it's going to happen to even the best of us.
That's true. That's the stage we're at. So hopefully that stage doesn't go back to any previous stage. I would like it to stay this and only get better. We'll see. So Dunaway, you're here. We're going to play a game, and Brian's going to explain this to us and what contestants are lined up for today's fun. So Brian, will you take it away?
All right, Scott. Yeah, welcome to the morning. Half-Ass is a trivia game where I'm going to be giving you guys the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for the round. Guess one and get it right, you get a point. Guess two and get it right, you get 3 points. And guess three, all three correct answers and get them right, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And we're pulling contestants for members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Mike Nowak of Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, Chicago.
Nice.
Chicago. Nice. Go Bears. Brian, you're going to be playing for Bill Fuller of Abbotsford, British Columbia.
Oh, ooh,
fancy.
BC. All right. Ooh. Nice.
Canada.
Very good. Yeah, Canada. Oh, wait. Hold on. We got that.
Canada.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and get things started here. Winner, by the way, is going to get it's an all sports edition of prizes. The winner is going to get Football Manager 2020 and East Side Hockey Manager. Both of these are games that Sega took over and turned into huge powerhouses.
Yeah, people love those games.
They're considered the best sports management simulations ever. Yeah. And then the runner-up is going to get NBA 2K20.
Also a good game. Yeah.
Yeah, sports for everyone.
All the sports.
All the sports you can eat right here on TMS. Fantastic.
All right, let's get to your first question. Question number one, real middle names. We kind of touched on this with presidential middle names, but these are people's real name or real middle names when you're familiar with their initials, right? So, for example, and these are your examples, Susan B. Anthony, is her real middle name Boone? Philip K. Dick, Kindred.
Okay.
John D. Rockefeller, Desmond, Arthur C. Clarke, Claire, George W. Bush, Walker, and E.E. Cummings, which, yeah, I know, I could have typed all in lowercase, is E.E. Cummings' middle name Estlin.
Well, this is
These are hard. I don't know these too good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I got a several.
I got one.
Okay.
Am I gonna lock that in and be no? Because he has several. Bastard.
You bastard.
All right, I'm doing two. Locking in at two. Okay.
All right. Locked in with two. You guys both locked in with George W. Bush really? Being Walker. Okay. I will tell you, that's correct. Yeah. You guys also locked in with John D. Rockefeller being Desmond. Oh. Let's see how you did.
Yeah. You getting 0 points or
you both
some?
Got zero.
Oh, damn it.
You're either both going to get three or both going to get zero based on that.
Philip K. Dick is Kindred?
Kindred. Philip
it's
Kindred Dick.
What?
Kindred Dick.
Kindred
and
Dick.
And then E.E. Cummings is Estlin.
Okay. I'm surprised by the Kindred. That throws me.
Sadly, Arthur Clare Clark is not Arthur C. Clarke's real name, which is a real bummer. I really wish that was.
That'd be great. All right, I feel okay
right.
still.
That's right. Now, zero. You know, you've gotten your practice one out of the way. Let's get to question two. It's food, and we both had a rousing discussion about zingers and Twinkies and.
We all did on the film sacks.
Donut sticks.
Yeah. No donuts.
Oh yeah, donuts.
Donuts.
Yeah. If you ask Randy, it's donuts, but we say donuts. Here.
I'm fine with that.
All right. So tell me if these supermarket brands are named for real people. You've got Little Debbie, Dr. Pepper, Betty Crocker, Famous Amos, Aunt Jemima, and Chef Boyardee. Three of those are real people. Three of those are made up.
They all feel made up.
They kind of do.
Yeah.
I'm clicking in three.
I'm doing three, too. I'm going all in on this one. Let's see.
Ooh, look at you guys. All right.
Yeah. Probably be 0-0 again. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. All right. So let's see here. Brian, you've locked in with Little Debbie. And Scott, you've locked in on Dr. Pepper, Betty Crocker, and Famous Amos. The answers are...
Damn it.
Little Debbie, Famous Amos, and Chef Boyardee. We've even talked about there's the real Chef Boyardee. We've talked about him on this show.
I thought we had. I almost checked it, but I was like, am I remembering that incorrectly?
Because we discovered his name is pronounced Chef Boyardee.
Oh, Boyardee?
Oh,
and they,
okay.
Maybe I wasn't involved with that one. Spelling or something to Chef Boyardee in the pronunciation. We all remember that. Chocolate chip cookie Schiller from the 80s and
I could have sworn by Betty Crocker was a thing. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I definitely knew Betty Crocker was a faker. I knew that one.
Really?
And Jemima, I knew that was a faker.
I knew Aunt Jemima
wasn't sure
was.
About the others.
Yeah, so. Aunt Jemima I knew was, but Dr. Pepper and Betty Crocker I was sure were right. I don't know why.
Yeah. Right, because Dr. Pepper came from like those traveling snake oil salesman, right? Like it was like, Dr. Pepper's feel good tonic. And there, you think there was a Dr. Pepper who was wearing a top hat and carrying a cane saying, you want to feel better? I want to get rid of the gout. Here's what you drink, Dr. Pepper.
That proves the serum and the guys hawking it were both fake.
Exactly.
Lame.
Yes.
Lame.
All right. Last one. Boy, somebody better put some more points on the board or else
I know.
Gonna win this one. Question number three. Rugby terms. So three of these are terms from the game of rugby. Three of them are not.
Oh, no.
Sin bin, piggy wig, bong tree, mully grubber, runcible, and scrum. Three of those are from rugby. Three of them are not.
And these are terms about the game or not? These aren't just alternate names for rugby.
Terms you might hear on a rugby match.
Like touchdown is a football term.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Get it. I get it.
Corner kick is a soccer term or a football term in parts of the world.
All right, I'm just going to... I don't know. I'm locking him in two.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Oh, I didn't lock him in today.
Scott's locked in. Brian's locked in. Okay. Let's see how you guys did. Yeah, scrum was the easy one. You guys both...
Yeah, scrum
was
easy, easy.
Yeah.
And...
Shit.
Runcible, not a rugby term, but sin bin. So sin bin is the term for the penalty box. You're going in the sin bin.
Hilarious.
Mully grubber is a type of kick. But piggy wig, bong tree, and runcible are all words from The Owl and the Pussycat.
Really? Get out of here.
Frick. Runcible sounded like a real thing.
It does, right? He committed a runcible. Yeah.
Gotta run past the piggy wiggy.
So who wins then?
Brian Dunaway wins, and congratulations to Bill Fuller of Abbotsford. I did that twice. Abbotsford, British Columbia. You're getting a copy of Football Manager 2020 and Eastside Hockey Manager. Look, you're Canadian. Eastside Hockey Manager is right up your blue line.
Ooh-ha.
And then, Scott, you played for Mike Nowak. Don't worry, Mike. You're still getting a copy of NBA 2K20.
An excellent game. Yeah.
Winner, winner, chicken troubles. Dinner.
For all the troubles that you put through today.
For all the troubles we've caused you.
That's great. Well done, both of you. And Brian knows your email, so he'll send those out ASAP. And exactly right. You'll be the big winners. Hey, Brian Dunaway, sure feels good to have Scott. You back, because we missed you a couple times in a row. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, I know. And we missed the trivia a couple of times, and you guys went out of town, and it feels like it's been forever. And so now we're back to it.
Yep. Back to it, baby. But don't worry.
We missed our film sacks for a while, and we only missed one play retro, but we're going to remedy that very shortly.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow. We're doing all Game Shark and all – what's the other one?
A Game Genie, Game Shark, and play Action Replay.
A
little cheater boxes.
Yeah, little cheater boxes.
Exactly.
We're seeing the 8 and 16-bit era.
Absolutely. I think those deserve a little spotlight. We're going to talk about why they existed and how none of that matters now. Like, that is a thing you don't even think about with video games. But at the time,
Gloob helped us cheat.
That's right.
You know, the micro machines people.
Yep. That's coming up tomorrow, 3:30 Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv. And of course, on
Nintendo
the podcast.
Didn't want it to happen.
No.
Nintendo was anti.
Oh, how weird that they don't like things.
Even though they made those cheater controllers they had with the turbo buttons.
Yeah. They like to cheat a little bit. They only like to cheat a little. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about Turbo as well, and some of those some of those devices that did like repeating shooting and stuff like that. That's all coming up. Play retro wherever you get your podcast. Brian Dunaway, kiss our butts.
No, you.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a great cutoff, actually.
Yeah,
well done.
Wasn't bad. Off into the ether he goes, and now we take a break and play a song. Hey, Brian, I need a song. It's been a while, so why don't you play one there?
Has been a while. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I played music from a band called Kulik, K-U-L-I-C-K. They're from Pennsylvania, and they're kind of on the pop punk. They've written a brand new song. They've got an album that's going to be coming out later this month, and this is a song about growing up around people that you don't fit in with. I think a lot of us can especially after a week in Vegas with people we do fit in with, a lot of people can relate to what it's like to be around the people we don't.
Yep.
This is... let's see here. This is from the album Everyone I Know Will Die.
Oh, jeez.
Here's a song called The People I Know Don't Like Me.
I think this band might get me. All right, here it is. Enjoy this. We'll be back in a moment with Steven Schleicher and more. Stay tuned.
Your mother's basement, your father's paycheck, you feel complacent. I know. You play your sad songs and your video games. It's the weekend, are you drinking again? It's no wonder we'll never get along. I'm not like the people I know. The people I know, they never left home. I don't like the people I know. The people I know don't like me. Don't like me. I don't like the people I know. The people.
Scriptures. Lipstick is so long. Holy Narragista, I know they break the wall.
Bible Adventures features three games in one cartridge.
This is the Morning Stream. I'll swallow your soul.
We have returned, everybody. Hey, Brian, remind me who that song was from.
Yeah, that song was by Kulik, K-U-L-I-C-K. It's called The People I Know Don't Like Me, and it's from their new album, Everyone I Know Will Die.
Nice. That's true. Everyone you do know will die.
Everyone you know will die. I mean, it's a thought. Jeez,
yep, I know. It's a little dark, but I don't know.
Everyone you don't know will die also. Like, really?
Everyone will die. Yeah, they should just call that song Everyone Will Die. Because they will, and it's fine. And a lot more people will be born, yeah. And then they'll die, and then they'll have kids. That's the way life is. But right. Now, this.
Stephen Schleicher. Stephen Schleicher.
Hey, we've missed Stephen Schleicher for a couple of weeks. He had a thing 2 weeks ago, and then last week we were gone. So
we had a thing one week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Why were you guys gone? What were you doing?
Oh, you're very quiet. Hold on. Let me see if I can turn you up.
Let me turn that up. How's that?
There you go. Much better. Much better.
Let's both of you turn up simultaneously so you can blast our ears.
I cannot remember who said it, Stephen, but somebody walked up to me and said how grateful they were that they're a listener to TMS and they hear your segment. And that's how they went and found your stuff and how grateful they were that they found your stuff because they love all things Major Spoilers Network. So
thank you. That's so nice to hear. I'm very grateful for all of our fans and listeners and all of the TMS peeps.
Yeah.
And Frog Pants peeps.
I wish I could remember the name, though. I'd love to give them credit, but I can't remember who that was. But
that's okay. That's all right.
I may have been
everybody equally, except for Nazis.
I may have been under the very legal influence at the moment. So who knows what was going on there.
That's on drugs.
Yeah. Well, look, as soon as it's legal.
First it starts off with just a little mint, and the next thing you know, you'll be doing meth. Down by the garbage.
Shout out to Mitzula, by the way. So Chris Minton, who's always around when we do Vegas stuff, he's in Vegas and a total stud. But anyway, he's the one. He says, look, you don't want to just go down the strip and find some garbage, right? There's there's so much like watered down, you know, nothing down there. Don't go do that.
Sure.
Here's where you need to go. So he took us off strip to this place around, it was like around midnight because we were just finishing up on the arcade night stuff. And he's like, all right, where are we going? And we found this place. And it was really nice. And they knew everything they needed to know. And it was cheaper than anything on the strip. So
cool. Thank
you, Chris, for the good advice. He's the sage lord of...
I didn't know you actually went to the place. I thought somebody bought it like for you and brought it. But you actually got to go into
I went in.
Dispensary and met a bud tender.
Mm-hmm. I met a bud tender. And those people are serious about their job.
Yeah, they are. Oh, they know their stuff. Yeah.
My gosh, they know everything. And if you even say so what's this cream about? Oh, you don't want to get that cream because they're about to come out with a whole brand new cream and the concentrate of this and that. Blah, 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 blah. She had all this information. She was great. I wish I knew her name. Or maybe I don't.
Awesome.
But anyway, thanks to Chris for that. That was great. Let's dive into what's going on here in the Major Spoilers world where we talk about some pop culture, some comics, some other stuff. Sad news, though. Neil Adams, one of my favorite comic artists of all time, passed away.
Yeah, passed away on Friday from a complication from sepsis is what he had. He was 80 years old.
80 years old, yeah. I can't believe he was 80. His art always felt like some 25-year-old kid drew it. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
If you see a picture of him, even back in 2019 or something when he was last at a comic convention, still looks very young and spry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That guy held his age really well, but... Some of the best art you can think of. He had a hand in creating Ra's al Ghul and a bunch of characters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great run on the X-Men right before Dave Cockrum.
Right before they canceled it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He did like two issues of the X-Men. He went to Stan Lee and he's like, Stan, I want to come and do some work for you. And Stan Lee was like, well, how about we have you work on the Avengers? And he's like, no, what's like the... your lowest comic. That's the one I want to work on. And he goes, well, we've got X-Men, but we're canceling it in two issues. And Neil Adams was like, that's what I want because it means you're not paying attention to what I'm about to do. Nice. And I guess that two issue run or whatever outsold everything.
It was crazy. Did Marvel he only really do two issues?
Because I think it was only two issues.
Wow, I thought he had a much longer. I think he must have come back later because it was like, I want to say that not Havok and Polaris, but there were a couple of characters that were during his reign and the of X-Men that he helped create, that he helped design. So
yeah. His work
he totally redesigned Batman and made him the more detective Dark Knight person that we know today, and moved DC Comics out of the goofy Silver Age stuff and into what we would consider Bronze Age material. So he will be lost. And a couple of other things that people don't realize about Neil Adams is he was a big proponent of the comics industry unionizing and led a big charge in the 70s to get the comics industry to unionize, and they didn't. He was also a big advocate for returning original art to creators. So when you go to a comic show when you're buying original art pages from those creators, you can thank Neil Adams for that, because otherwise a lot of times the comic book publishers were just ripping up the pages and throwing them in the trash. And then he was also responsible for making sure that Siegel and Schuster got a big payout from DC Comics with Superman.
He was a big push on that. But his art, I mean, there's so many great artists in the history of comics, but his art, I feel like, is the most transcendent style, in that it doesn't feel old, it doesn't feel new or anime. It's just this permanent look, and he captured it, I think, better than anybody. I really, really love his stuff. Yeah. So good. Yeah. He even did a portrait of, so when the Joker came out, the movie, did a portrait of, what's his bucket? I can't think of his name.
Jack?
Yeah, well, of the Joker. No, of... What the hell's his name?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Thank you.
Really?
He did just a recent portrait of it, and also reviewed the film. But it's just, he's always good, and this means he was drawn this in what? He was 78 or 9 when he was doing this. So I don't know. Just a really impressive body of work. That guy's really great. Ra's al Ghul and his daughter he created. I didn't know that.
Oh, yet. Really?
Yeah. Wow.
That's he is also responsible for hairy-chested Batman.
Yeah.
He didn't use the Bat Razor.
Yeah.
Robin.
The Batscaper.
The Batscaper is even, that's better. My balls are hairy. All right, moving on. So there's that. That's sad, but also long, good life, real good impact. Yeah. That guy's great. Yeah. Doctor Strange is this week.
Is that this week?
Brian's got the tickets there. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go to the theater to see it.
Wow,
dude. Okay, so where, Brian, your plans? When is this? When are you going?
See, I'm seeing it Thursday early evening. Like, basically, these are the tickets that I tried to get during the entirety of an episode a few weeks ago where I just had it on autopilot and I just kept hitting the button, refresh, buy tickets, failed, refresh, buy tickets, failed.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, if I'm honest, about... Okay, this is totally stupid. Steven, you can tell me how dumb I am. But I'm concerned.
You're so dumb.
The last time Sam Raimi made a superhero movie, it was a bad, bad superhero movie.
Yeah.
Okay, Spider-Man 3 was bad by all measurements. Yes. It's not a good movie.
Objectively bad, yes.
It has its moments and it has some cool stuff in it, but it's just poorly done. So, yeah,
dancing Peter Parker, evil dancing Peter Parker. So much wrong with
it. Sad.
So we've got evil Doctor Strange showing up in this movie.
That's
yeah,
true.
If he dances, I'm out. Like, if he starts disco dancing, then I'm out. I'm just going to get up and walk out.
It's
and
also
I like
your first appearance of the X-Men in the Marvel MCU movie.
Oh.
I know, yeah. It's not a spoiler to say it now, right? Because now there have been trailers released show... not just Professor X, but also another shield carrying member of the recent group. MCU. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Captain Carter is in there.
Yeah.
You might even get to see a new Monica Rambeau as well. So.
Oh,
that's right. Not since, I guess, Vision, WandaVision. Got to see
her. We see Illuminati because it's, again, mentioned in the trailer. Will we see a Reed Richards?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. That's the one that they're really keeping quiet. I mean, they haven't really... I mean, there was briefly a whole Illuminati thing that popped up on the internet for about five seconds before it got taken down. So I didn't get to see that. So I don't know who of the Illuminati they get to reveal. It would be really bonkers crazy if Tom Cruise was the Iron Man in the in that Illuminati.
That was
but
such a crazy rumor. It's like, I kind of hope not. Let's keep, keep Tom Cruise out of the MCU. We don't need that.
Yeah, but he'll run really fast if he's...
Yeah, great.
If he needs to run, he'll really book it. That's coming, and everyone's excited, and I'm hopeful I'm wrong about. Look, I love, and I, let me set the record straight. I love almost everything Sam Raimi's ever done, with the exception of Spider-Man 3. Everything else, I love all his horror movies. I love Darkman.
He's great, right? With the
yeah. No, he's great. You know, what was
Dr. Octopus, and
what was the Bill? Oh, I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Pullman.
No, died recently. He's in all the things. We're screwed. Why don't you put her in charge? Can't think of his name.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton and the other one now. I love French fried taters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. Simple Plan.
Simple Plan is such a great movie you've all never seen. Hopefully some of you have. Brian, I know, has. But
I read the book and then saw the movie and this is so good.
Such a great movie. He's an amazing director. So I'm just saying, it'll all probably be fine, but I have this little thing in the back of my head going, you effed up Spider-Man last time, dude. So I don't know. We'll see. What else, Steven? There's other stuff going on.
Don't forget, we're 2 days away from May 4th, your favorite holiday, Scott. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. Yeah, I can't wait for that. I am looking forward to it, actually. And I should mention here on the show that the grand tradition of Free Comic Book Day, free prints from Carter and I happens again this week. We're already done.
Oh, yeah.
With the art.
Free Comic Book Day this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. Ooh. So we'll have that up. Sign ups will be there for, and this is 100% free. Get 4x6 prints that we worked on. She did. Our theme this year is villains and sports. And so Carter and I, for some reason, we both did DC villains for no, it's just random reasons. But she ended up doing Bizarro playing soccer, but he's holding the ball, so it's the opposite.
that's how you play it in Bizarro.
Yeah, in Bizarro world, you're always touching the ball with your hands, and you're not supposed to in our world. But then mine was Two-Face, Harvey Dent, playing tennis. So one half of him is this really, you know, 80s looking, Izod shirt looking, fancy tennis boy with shorts, and the other side is, you know, all burned and gross and whatever.
Nice.
Anyway, those are our prints this year and are going to be totally free. So when you sign up, and it's not up there yet, it will be sometime during this week, but I want to make sure to let people know it's coming to frogpants.com/store. Again, they're 100% free. There's zero strings attached. It's just a thing we do every year to tell everyone how much we appreciate them. So that will be this week.
Yeah. And Comic Day is Saturday. Is that right?
Comic Day is Saturday. A couple of things to keep in mind. If you're going out there to get free comics, this is the time of year when most people who have never been in a comic book shop before venture into the comic book shop for the first time, and you see free comics and you want to grab them all. Be aware that for the last couple of years, Diamond has been putting a color code on the comics to let you know whether they're, you know, what their age appropriate level is. And I don't think the message has gotten out too well, because a couple of kids have ended up with some mature rated comics. So if you see a green stripe on the cover, it means that's appropriate for all ages.
Yeah.
If you see a blue stripe, it's teen and up. And if you see a red stripe, that is mature, adults only type stuff.
Good color choices, right? Green for go kids, and then blue, it might have some blue content. Red, red band trailer.
Okay. Yeah. Red light, Roxanne, don't turn it on.
Red light district for those kids. Yeah
and if exactly. You're the person that's leaned in close to your AirPod listening device, here are the mature titles that you will be able to pick up on Free Comic Book Day. Blade Runner 2019. There's this one from Dark Horse Comics that has Norse mythology and some other real play podcast thing. I don't know what that is. Manhwa, contemporary Korean comics from Drawn and Quarterly, and The Boys number one from Dynamite Entertainment. All are your mature title comics coming out this year.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. The Boys definitely should have that red
thing
on it, especially the comic. Yeah.
Although Invincible number one is a blue label one. And
interesting.
Yeah, that you can also pick that one up.
Yeah, I guess how much gore did they have in the first issue of Invincible?
Yeah,
that's true.
Keep on going, and you'll get to the red ones.
Right, exactly. Won't take too long, but
you get into some. I think it was when Ryan Otley joined is when you start having the eyeballs and the brains popping right out at you. So
is that new season soon, right? We get that
soon. Yeah, I was going to ask you. Did you guys, either of you guys, watch the animated The Boys?
I meant to. No, it was like an anthology animation series thing.
Yeah, I missed it too. Missed. It's still there, but haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
In continuity. So if you're wondering if it ties into the TV series, it most definitely does. So,
and I think aren't they semi-ish famous animators? I think the Rick and Morty, there's like a Rick and Morty style one that's those guys worked on or something. Maybe I have that in my head wrong, but I thought I saw about that. Well, anyway, if anyone else out there has seen it, send us a thing.
June 3rd, so a month from tomorrow, the new season of The Boys.
Sweet.
I know we just skimmed over the Star Wars day, but if everybody's waiting for Obi-Wan this week, no, you have to wait till the 23rd of this month.
Oh,
that's right. But they're giving us two episodes instead of one.
Oh. Right.
Will they, I was going to say a thing. I forgot. Oh, are they going to give us a new trailer, though, maybe on the 4th? Like,
only thing that I have seen is there's this scene where Obi-Wan is just standing out looking over Ben's farm,
yeah,
and he's kind of wiggling around. He's like, "Ah, Anakin was right. I hate Santu."
Yeah, right. he finally acknowledges
it. I'm out. I'm out.
He finally acknowledges the truth, which is sand sucks.
We also get the finale of Moon Knight this week.
Oh my goodness, I cannot wait.
As Tina calls it, Moonface. Brian, we can watch Moonface.
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 That's great.
Are you up on it, Scott? Or is
no?
This show
I'm gonna. I'll watch it. Yet. I'm just gonna binge the shit out of it.
Yeah, you better do Loki and What If before, like, finish What If and Loki before you see Doctor Strange.
So that stuff's all. Oh, Doctor Strange. Yeah, but what about what about Moon Knight? Isn't that a pretty standalone thing? I don't have
it's a standalone thing. So far, it seems.
Yeah,
like
so
it
far.
Is.
I mean, we don't know what happens next week. Yeah. So
wait till Luke Cage shows up this week.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would be great.
Yeah. I really like that
integrate
actor.
As much of that Netflix stuff as you can.
I agree. Oh, get them all in there.
Hallie Zorrell in the chat is saying, also, Amphibia ends in 2 weeks and The Owl House ends its season soon. Two of my youngest son's favorite anime series.
Oh, cool.
If you guys haven't watched those, you really need to.
The Owl
Both
House?
Both of them, The Owl House and Amphibia. Both of them have creators who have spun out of both Gravity Falls and I forget the other... Steven Universe.
Oh, Steven Universe.
Is Owl House and Amphibia is Gravity Falls.
Oh.
So if you guys haven't seen those shows, they are really, really good.
Yeah. Sounds like an easy way to get into anime kind of thing, right? Like Wheels anime?
They're not anime.
They're not like, really anime, but you know, I would say anime adjacent as far as their big complex stories and everything.
Perfect.
That goes on.
Perfect for Brian. You know, I was going to say, though, they made a grown man cry the other day, or about a week ago or something, week and a half ago. I was watching Bluey with Van.
Oh, yeah.
And Bluey is a piece of magical content. I don't know if this is what they intended to do, but they made a kid's show that adults need to see. Like, I can't explain it any other way. It's definitely, you know, little kids love it, and it's definitely aimed at littler kids. But Bluey is an amazing piece of work, and there was an episode that made me cry like a big dumb baby. And I was just sitting there watching a cartoon. What was that about?
Insane. Listen, you make it sound like cartoons are just like kiddie stuff.
No, I know.
Cartoons, animation can have a dramatic... You know, it's a dramatic art. It's a realistic art. And
I agree. But this is a case of emotions, even
in TV shows.
I'm 100% on that side of the thing. I always have been on that side of the argument. But in this particular case, there's just I don't know what it is. There's an honesty to it. It's so fam freaking tastic. If you guys have not seen Bluey, which is it's an Australian production. Yeah. It's on Netflix. It's worth every second you spend with it. It's such a wonderful... And if you're... Especially parents, man. Your parents, just get ready to have a little rag next to you to cry your tears into. For serious. It's so good. And it's not like... It's not even like bonk you over the head with emotions. It's just like you just... There's an honesty to it. I can't say enough about Bluey. Bluey's amazing. Anyway, I sound like Nicole. She was talking about this years ago about how great it was. And I waited forever to watch it. But it's very, very good stuff. All right. I guess that's about it. Steven, there's probably a few other things going on your end of the stick. What are you doing over there?
Oh, yeah. If you're looking for all the news that spun out of CineCon this past week, including the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Above the Spider-Verse, Beyond the Spider-Verse, all that stuff.
Across or whatever it is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Between the Spider-Verse.
Sheets. Spider
Battle
sheets.
For the planet of the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Spider-Verse 10, it's all about family.
Sure.
all of that. You can read all of that wrap up over on Major Spoilers. It is part of our Did You Hear series that Ashley Victoria Robinson writes, and she's got a pretty good write up of all the spider news that popped out last week.
Okay.
While you guys were in Vegas.
Yeah, and in Vegas it was like in the 90s at some points, and I would get headaches if I wasn't drinking something. So would you have any advice for a guy like me that
eat a couple more edibles, I guess?
Oh, not stay hydrated?
And stay hydrated.
Okay, there we go. I knew it was coming. Yes. And everyone who wants to know, like, you can't just buy a edible. You have to get a little pack.
You have to get a package of them, yeah.
So they're like, where's that pack right now?
I don't know where it is. I don't know. It's somewhere. It's probably somewhere.
Find out during core on Thursday night.
Oh, I don't dare podcast under that. I think it would be a mess. I think I wouldn't know what to say, because I will say this. One of the things I noticed about it is it chills you out so bad, I didn't feel like retaining anything. You know, like normally I'm like paying very close attention to everything. But instead I'm just like, meh, whatever. Yeah, okay. Hmm. Did he say something? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he did. Like there's a lot of that later on. So anyway, next play date. And dude, I don't know. I'm not even saying I don't know where this bag is. Who knows? All right. That's it for all of that. Let's do a Monday morning mashup. Jamie did not rest during our trip.
No, no rest for the wicked.
Nope. Missed him, though. Would have loved to have seen him. But,
yeah. It would have been great.
Yeah. Next time, we'll get Jamie down there. Anyway, who's up in Canada?
Canada!
He sent in a new mashup, and it's a great one, as far as I can tell, because of the name. I don't know, because I don't pre-listen to them, but it's called the Monday morning mashup, I Am Defeato. And I believe Brian coined that phrase. Let's see how our memory holds up. Enjoy.
I want to make political history so sexy you want to F-word it, but I usually say the F-word. We're not allowed to curse here, right? We're not cursing.
No,
we're
not here. Justin.
But anyway, you guys get the point. Record the crappiest script and then edit from there.
No, that is some f***ing great advice, Justin. Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
He's making Bobby edit. Literally, Bobby has to edit.
What a f***ing dickhead.
I've done that with bread where I've eaten around a blue ball, you know, just kind of eat around it. bum plug. Oh, Good Friday? What's good about getting killed on a cross? What's good about that? That's not good. Right?
Because, you know, they walked away afterwards and said, good.
I almost sprayed tea all over my
mic. I'm glad I caught that right during a drink. I was
locked and loaded, as we were saying last week. He never isn't wearing a hat. Have you noticed this? A baseball
Kevin
hat?
Kevin Feige?
Yeah. Like you never at premieres, the fanciest events, Cannes Film Festival, doesn't matter. There's Feige with his baseball hat.
I've got a picture of him right here with his I Am Defeato. master of the powers of defeat.
What's the body part you would least want to eat of your own? I think eye is up there.
I mean, that would be the butthole, Scott.
Yeah. Well, if you took good care of it, you know.
I mean, I take very good care of it, but it still would be. People have asked to bring that brocchini that Barry and Bobby Ann made for me. I don't know.
Brian, listen, you'll have to be really drunk if you're going to wear that.
I'll have to be comatose if I'm going to wear that. Even wearing it over a pair of bicycle shorts is still like, wrapping a tinfoil around a potato. It's like you can still see everything that's going on.
Yeah. Sorry for the extra length. Sometimes you just want extra width.
Good on him and his I Am Defeato. It's a really good Defeato.
I Am Defeato.
I'll get your Skeletor. I'm Defeato.
I do love the name Defeato, and I would like to use it.
Defeato. Yeah. It'd be like the worst villain name ever, right? Because it just implies that he gets beaten all the time.
Well, it does fulfill the naming conventions of most of like Skeletor's henchmen. They're all like something-o or Two-Face Manhead or whatever. Oh, don't send us emails about Lion-O not being in...
Oh, did I faux pas?
We're mostly talking about 80s cartoons as a whole, everybody.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll own up to the fact that I've never seen Masters of the Universe, and so I thought Lion-O. Well, he's Thundercats, right?
Thundercats, yeah. You ever seen Thundercats?
I have seen Thundercats, I should have known that one.
Yeah, Thundercats is great. Yeah. Pantera. No,
I loved Optimus Prime in that. Yeah. He was so good.
He was really good. When him and the one Voltron Care Bear.
Was great.
Yeah. That's good stuff. All right. That's it for today's program. A reminder that the show is brought to you by you. You fine people at home. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go throw your dollar and have it land at a happy place. It's a brand new month, too, by the way. It's only the second. So time to get in would be now. And yes, ICW, I was trying to remember, or ICU, I was trying to remember Panthro. He's awesome.
Panthro, yeah.
Panthro's the best of the Thundercats.
His ability is that he just toss skillets at you?
Yeah, he, yes, Panthro. Throw the pan. What do you want to be called? Panthro.
Panthro. Watch out for this saucepan.
What I liked about that dude is he was just always building something cool, and all the other Thundercats were lame. He was awesome. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, if you've forgotten since we were here last, frogpants.com/TMS. That'll do it for us. Yeah. Brian, we probably needed to play a little bit of a song. You know, we used to do this.
We do this. Yeah, we do this at the end, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you know, I've got one. Okay. Keaton wrote in and said, "Hey, Skort Jensen and Byron Ibbotson. May 1st is my 29th birthday and marks, I believe, 11 years of Frog Pants and TMS goodness for me. You guys are the best, and I love what you do, and you are an unreplaceable part of my daily audio needs. Recently, Mr. Ibbot introduced me to the Rumjacks as part of an Indie in the Middle, and I've been hooked ever since. For my birthday, could I get any Celtic or Celtic punk cover? I know you guys don't have a show on the 1st, and probably exhausted from the Vegas fun. Sorry I couldn't make it this year. So any time around that or even deeper into May will do. Thank you again. Keep up the great work. Signed, Keaton."
Nice.
Oh, well, thank you, Keaton, for writing in, and happy birthday. Happy 29th. Hold on to the 29th birthday as long as you can.
Yeah, always do, man. 29 is
right.
Brief. It's brief.
Yes, it is brief. I was going to give you a chance to play the happy birthday thing.
Oh, shit. I'll do that, too. Yeah. Here you go.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Perfect. So, you know, I could go easy, right, and say, oh, Flogging Molly or Dropkick Murphys, some great Celtic punk. But I decided to go a little deeper into a band that I think I've only played once before, and that's a band called Flatfoot 56. I want to say these guys are Chicago Irish punk, like they do Celtic punk. They live in Chicago. On their 2006 album, Knuckles Up, they do this cover of the traditional classic Amazing Grace, but give it a minute before you say, oh, it's just bagpipes Amazing Grace. What the heck? Because it does launch into some great punk. Here is Flatfoot 56 and Amazing Grace.
See you guys tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We can make the house pancakes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.